And we're back here on the Temple of Swan with the men's head soccer coach at Dominican, Phil Belechigard. And this is our second take here on Inside the Icebox. Good to have you here, Phil.
Perfect. I just wanted to thank you guys, Mike and Alex, for having men's soccer here in the Temple of Swan. And again, really appreciate your time and taking an interest in men's soccer and specifically Dominican athletics. And I love your temple, guys. Love it.
Thank you. See, I liked the joke. That's why we had to make you say it again. And we've been having technical difficulties. Last show, it was Alex's mic. Didn't work for the interview. This time, it's yours. I don't understand what happens when Inside the Icebox comes on. It's just the mics just start to drop.
Hey, just got to be flexible.
It's got to be flexible. Right? See that? I like you reaching across right now using the mic. So we do want to thank you for coming on. And, of course, you are our first head coach, so we want to just get some basically a scouting report on how the season's going, which kind of you're looking forward to. So that's what we'll start off right now. Your team started off 0-5-1, but you did lose four games by one goal. I don't know what kind of redeeming quality that is for you, like, if that makes you feel better, but all the games have been close pretty much. You've happened to drop them all. What have been your takes from the first six games here?
Yeah, you know, you bring up the dagger in my heart, to be honest with you.
I know.
You know, it's like, it'd be one thing if you lost games, you know, 0-5, 0-8, give up 8 goals and score any, but you know, when you look at, you're right, the 4 of the 5 games we lost have been by one goal, and all 4 of those games, that goal's been in the last 7 minutes or less, if not overtime. So you're looking at, it's kind of like when you're a young kid and you're hopping a fence, right? And you got your fingers over the top of the fence. You could see to the other side. And all of a sudden, someone either smacks your fingers and you fall down back on the same side you're on. You just can't quite get over the hump just yet. But you know, the mood of the team is good. We've got great leadership, so they'll keep driving us forward. You know, I think there's been a lot of lessons learned as a coaching staff and as a team. Our group is pretty young as well, so our freshmen are growing up pretty quickly. So it's in a nutshell, you know, we're going in the right direction. Progress is being made. It's just a little bit slower than anticipated.
Well, you got 10 true freshmen, 12 upperclassmen, 7 seniors. How do they really take the leadership role and kind of help these freshmen grow, especially in those tough losses? I mean, what can you take away from that when you go down by one, especially late in the game?
You know, we got 3 captains. All 3 are seniors, Dale Howard, Fabi Mendoza, and Eric Anderson. You know, and Dale, unfortunately, can no longer participate this year due to a knee injury suffered, but he's still kind of our emotional leader on and off the field, whether him being on it or not. But and then Eric and Fabi kind of carry the torch when we're on the field, and they drive us forward, you know, and when the freshmen's heads are hanging and they, you know, it's real easy as a young player to not see the bigger picture and to kind of, I always like to say, you know, you got to see the forest through the trees sometimes, you know, and sometimes when you're a freshman, all you see is the first tree. You know, and the guys know they've been here. They know we're working towards something. They know we're building something bigger and better than the program itself. And so we're making progress. I think those senior leaders really kind of drive us through those down moments. And they understand why they're here. And they understand that, you know, the program's going to continue to uptick. And the freshmen are playing because they're quality soccer players and quality young men. So I think to answer your question in an honest fashion, every situation is going to be different. But moreover, those seniors are just really kind of just encouraging the guys to keep moving forward. You got to keep going to hard work and doing in the hard stuff.
And so now it's your second year. What's it been like compared to the first year when you took over? Because you were an assistant here. And now you're ready taking the reins.
Yeah, you know, last year there was a big change in leadership and with regards to the men's and women's soccer programs. I took over the men's program July 1st, 2013. And we hired a women's coach, Tara Koleski. She took over about the same time. And so prior to that, I was doing men's and women's soccer and as assistant / associate head coach of both men's and women's soccer. We had a director of soccer named John Delano who's since moved on. And, you know, that we coming in July, you know, we kind of went through the recruiting cycle with our previous director of soccer. But then I really had to, you know, sink my teeth into the following year's recruiting cycle, which is our freshmen that are here this year. So our one big batch of freshmen that's here has been solely recruited by myself. And, you know, I everybody's going to be different. Every leadership is going to be different no matter who you are, what program you run. And for me personally, I have a vision of what I think the program should look like. And being an alumni of Dominican, and I feel I want to make the school and my alma mater proud and put forth a winning product. And it's just going to take time. But we'll get the right individuals to kind of keep us moving forward, and we'll keep building upon the foundation that's already been laid.
So what's it like for you going out and recruiting? Because I know you're the head of that, and you said you have a little staff that helps you. But what's it like for you going on your recruiting trips, and what are you trying to pitch for both Dominican and your own soccer team? Because I know you said you have a vision of what kind of players you're looking for, but how do you get them to come here? How do you sway them to come to Dominican?
Yeah, you know, it's a...
Or don't want to give that secret away to other coaches, I guess, right?
It's not all smoke and mirrors. Yeah. It's definitely not snake oil to all of them. No, in a... in truth, you know, you got to get the kids here. I think you guys, both, you know, Mike and Alex being here as students of Dominican and myself, and I think once you're here, this is truly an enchanted place. You know, this is a place that people do want to come to school and people do want to be here. And, you know, and that's rule number one. You make sure the kid wants to come to Dominican. Rule number two, make sure they want to be a part of something special. You know, they want to help build something special, which men's soccer is going to be. And in part three, you know, can they play soccer here? Is their athletic acumen quality enough to play, you know, help the team move forward? So, you know, my biggest recruiting thing, and it's not a strategy, it's no secret. If I can get a kid here, and I think I have enough wherewithal that I can talk to the parent and convince the kid, like, this is the place they want to be and real build something. You know, what we're selling is, and we're selling a product that's great education, small school environment, Northern California, and a great place to go play soccer.
And since you got to do both teams recruiting wise, you're involved in the training, the game day operations, player management, and then you got to go out and coach. How do you manage all that?
Well, I mean, just to back up, I just do the men's now, starting in, but in the past, I don't know how I did it, to be honest with you. It was, you know, you kind of fly by the, not fly by the seat of your pants, but you're always on go. You know, you don't really take time to breathe. And, you know, now we've stepped back, and the women's program has Tara, and now the men's has me. You know, I think it's just, you totally immerse yourself into it, and you know, you do find time for your wife and kid. I mean, I have a lovely wife, Megan, and a son, Franklin, at home. But, you know, when season's here and you're doing your everything, you immerse yourself. I mean, if it's something you truly love, you're going to pour every minute of every ounce of every day into it, and hopefully the product on the back end will be worthwhile.
What's it like being a student at Dominican, now coaching at Dominican? How's Dominican changed? How's the athletics program changed? Oh, what have man. You seen since you've kind of started here, and now you're still here seeing it from a different kind of eyes?
I got to be honest. This place is nothing, absolutely nothing like it's been when I went to school here, and it's all for the better. If you could, the phrase 180 degree turnaround, I think it was more like a 360. You know, we went like twice in a circle. You know what I mean? When I went to school here, you know, we're a small NAIA school, not great leadership, you know, within the athletics department, and you know, it was kind of just, I wouldn't say a fledgling place to go play, but it was a fun experience. I had a great time as a student here, but I think the commitment to athletics wasn't quite here from the institution. And then when I first started coming back here and working on both the men's and women's side, we had an athletic director named Terry Toomey, who's now at UC Davis, and you know, he really kind of carried the torch for us to jump into Division II. And now we've got Brandon Leinbach, who's done nothing but absolutely great things for the athletics department. He's carried the torch now. We're putting branding Dominican, where we're not just a small Division II school anymore. Now we have a brand name, and you know, let's give you an example. When I went to school here, you know, there was a time where I told kids I played at Dominican, and they thought literally it was the Dominican Republic.
Yeah,
you know, and, South America, Central America. You know, and now we're looking at her, and when I say Dominican, hey, you want to come play at Dominican? Oh yeah, you know, I know who you are. You know, I've heard about you. You know, and I'm definitely interested in your school. So, I mean, that to have that happen in 10 years' time, incredible.
Yeah,
incredible.
Well, you played and coached for 15 years. You were in Holland. Can you kind of take me through and Temple your timeline of how this all started?
Yeah, you know, it's and you're starting to date me. I feel like I'm 21 still sometimes, but no. I played and coached. Let's start back when I played. I played here. I finished playing here. I walked in graduation in 2003 and, you know, jumped right into coaching. I always wanted to be a teacher. That's kind of why I came to Dominican and for the educational department. But I got my degree in English, and you know, I got to coaching, and then it's funny, coaching is teaching, you know, and you may don't realize that when you're 22, 23 years old, but you get the bug, it starts to go, and you know, all of a sudden, you know, 5-6 years later, I'm really entrenched in soccer, and obviously it was a sport I grew up playing and love. So, hey, you're outside, you're loving what you're doing, you're working with kids. I'm teaching. A passion of mine is to work with young adults, and so I got into the coaching piece, and then, you know, as you keep kind of climbing the ladder slowly but surely, networking, making, you know, contacts, I got the opportunity to come back here just to coach on the women's side with a college roommate of mine, as I mentioned, John Delano, and 5 to 6 years after that, got the opportunity to be the associate head coach here, and, you know, chance would have it, got asked by Brandon Leinbach to be the men's soccer coach here about a year ago and some months. So, you know, it's just like anything in life. You stick to it of this. You kind of put yourself, surround yourself with good people. You think about good things. You have good visualization on what your life's going to look like, and good things will happen.
We're here with men's soccer coach Philip Bellecci, guard at radio.dominican.edu. This is Inside the Icebox. We're talking to the coach of the men's soccer team. So you guys just got back from Idaho, and you played a quick road trip game in San Francisco State. What's those last three games been like? I know it's kind of all back to back to back. What's it been like now, looking back at it, since you are on a day off here?
Yeah, you know, it's pretty crazy. You know, that's our second set of three games in 6 days. We did three games in 6 days a week ago. And this time it's been all on the road. So, you know, we had some heavy legs. Again, we suffered some defeats late in the game, which may or may not be attributed to some fitness, some heavy leggedness, what have you. You know, we were in Boise. By the way, guys, on a little side note, Boise's got to be the nicest place on earth.
Really?
Everybody there is accommodating. I would recommend to all of our listeners, if you haven't taken a trip, get to Boise. And second piece about Boise real quick is that their airport has more employees than people going to fly somewhere.
Wow.
It has got to be the least busiest airport I've ever been in. I've been in a lot of them. I'm telling you, the Boise airport, Sunday at 5 o'clock, we were the only people in there, and they had, you know, 20 employees waiting to help us. It was the best thing ever. So,
dang, FYI, that's good travel info there.
Yeah. Always reroute through Boise.
Yeah, no,
we flew up to Northwest Nazarene, you know, last Thursday, played on Friday. They've got a good squad. You know, that was a tough game for us. We went down 2-0, came back 2-2. Gave up one late, probably attributed just we exerted so much energy going forward, just couldn't hang on for those last pieces. And, you know, then we turned around, rested on Saturday, and then had to play a game early Sunday against College of Idaho, which has a field that's, believe it or not, bigger than ours. So ours is about 4 yards more narrow than the official soccer field for FIFA. So 120 yards long by 80 yards wide is the official dimensions of a soccer field. Well, they were 120 by 80 to the tee. It was hot, and we were down a few guys due to some injury. So, again, we gave up a late penalty kick 5 minutes to go in the game. You know, we were kind of hanging on, and as luck would have it, just wouldn't go our way. You know, so get back, rest, go to San Francisco State. Again, road weary, you know, get in the vans. We take some more guys with us, San Francisco State, and went down a goal, battled back, went 1-1, and then literally 3 minutes ago, gave up one goal again. I think it's, you know, there's attributedness to, again, being tired, but there's also the mental piece that goes with it, you know, and again, it's not easy. You know, playing a college soccer game is one of the hardest things a young soccer player can do. So in doing that three games in a row in 6 days with not a lot of recovery time is quite challenging. So I'm proud of my guys. I'm proud of the effort they put forth, and hopefully all their hard work will turn into some good results here going forward.
Yeah, and those players grow mentally. Their mental toughness gets tested. And so now you kind of finished your out-of-conference schedule. You know, you're talking about earlier, you break it down into two mini seasons here. And so you got Chaminade tomorrow at noon. Can you give us some keys to the game to that and what you're kind of scouting for? Or is that off-air? Can't do that.
No, it's not tomorrow.
Chaminade is next Thursday.
Oh, it's next Thursday. Yeah.
I was looking at the coach. I was like, you'll save him.
Yeah, I'll save you. I save you. Man, that'd be four games in 6 days. My guys look at me and want to kill me playing this many games. And truth be told, yes, we do start our conference next Thursday. So that's Thursday, September 25th, if my calendar in my head's correct. You know, Chaminade comes to town, Hawaii school. We're hoping that, you know, they might be a little road weary as we are. You know, the time change. We're looking for any advantage we can get. But most importantly, you know, that's a game we feel that we can win. We put our best foot forward, and that's what we're going to do. You know, we've been able to take the preseason, step back, learn from some hard lessons learned, and put our best foot forward and, you know, be all positive as we go into that Chaminade game.
Yeah, and I think role reversal is kind of a huge key here. Playing the two Hawaii teams, like you said, they could be road weary. Chaminade coming in here, it's going to be their third game in 5 days. And you got BYU Hawaii on that next Saturday. That's going to be their fifth game in 9 days. So now you get to see it from the other side. Maybe your guys' legs will be fresher compared to theirs, and we can see what kind of roles change there.
100%. You know, and again, sometimes college soccer isn't about what team plays the best soccer. It's a little bit about a war of attrition, if you will, who's most fit, who suffered the least amount of injuries, and you know, all those things that go into that kind of help winning games, those small advantages you look for.
How big does depth play there with those injuries and how much you got to be fit?
Yeah, you know, depth is always going to be critical. You know, any great college soccer team should have at least 2 to 3 man deep roster across the board. So you're looking at, you know, 18 to 20 guys that can fill in a role and give you, you know, starters minutes if need be, you know, and we have that, you know, but we're just, you know, getting thinner and thinner. So these last 2 days will be great for us to kind of recoup and recover, you know, and as we jump into Chaminade and BYU next week, we should be fully healed and fully fresh going into those games.
Yeah, you guys are playing Chaminade at home next Thursday. That's the 25th. They're 1-2 on the season. You guys beat them last year 2-0. What's kind of your point of emphasis going into on the chalkboard to try to beat Chaminade? What are you guys looking forward to really execute the most early on against Chaminade?
You know, one thing we feel that against Chaminade, it's an opponent that we could impose our will against. You know, they're a team that we feel that we match up quite evenly with, if not a little bit more superior through our eyes. And when you come against an opponent like that, I think you got to put your kind of input your will on them and take the game to them and let them bring it to you. So our strategy is to kind of go right after them, you know, not lay back and try and get a little bit higher up the field earlier and see if we can't get an early goal, you know, kind of dictate tempo, as we like to say in the sports world. You know, tempo is always critical and key, and if you get an early goal, I think that'll kind of help us dictate the tempo we want to dictate.
So how hard is it to dictate the tempo? So if you have an opposing team controlling possession, you got to really play D. Does that kind of really get you on the counter, or is it important that you are in possession and dictating the tempo?
Very impressed with your soccer acumen. I like it. You
got counter. We study up.
I like
we
it. I, like it.
I don't know the date of the game, but
I love the fact we brought counter in here. And, you know, dictate tempo. No, this is great. You know, if there is a team that wants to dominate possession, we're not necessarily a great possession based team. It's just not something we're strong at. We focus on what we're great at. We're great at working hard. We're great at getting behind the ball. We're great at defending, and yes, we're great on the counter. You know, we can get out and go. You know, against a team like Chaminade, we feel that we can dictate tempo, though. We can get in possession a little bit more. We can have the ball a little bit more. And especially if we can get an early goal, as we anticipate, you know, that'll allow us to do a little bit more things that we want to do offensively. Going back to what you're saying, though, you know, against other teams that want to have the ball a little bit more, we're okay with that. We're mentally strong enough to know that, hey, we may not have the ball as much, but we can score just as many goals.
Are you strong in the middle, or you got some speed on the outside where you like to play it wide?
We got a little bit of both. We got a little bit of both. You know, we've got some big boys, some college soccer guys in the middle of the field. You know, they're kind of our beef, if you will. Every college soccer team needs a few of those guys. And we also got a little bit of pace in the wide channel. You know, we got a returning all-conference player, Colby Mitnick, who gives us some fast break pace, if you will, some counter-attacking pace. And he's great on the great on the counter. You know, and we've got the guys behind him that can win it defensively and put him out into the space. So.
And then we were watching the World Cup, as Temple and I love that, and we saw Tim Howard, you know, stand on his head, and you got a keeper and a captain in Eric Anderson. How important is that to have someone in the back of the net, you know, keep goals out?
You know, Eric is a tremendous, tremendous representation of student athlete here at Dominican. You know, he came here with just a chance to wanting to play, and he's made himself into the goalkeeper he is. You know, he doesn't have a great God-given talent, but what he did, he looked himself in the mirror when he got here and says, hey, I want to be a starter, I want to be a captain, I want to make the most of my college soccer playing experience. He went to the weight room, he did every extra ounce of extra training he could do. He's also works hard in the classroom. You know, now he's developed into a great leader of young men, you know, within our within the culture we have within our team. You know, he truly does set the bar and set the example for how a Dominican men's soccer player, what we look for in young men. You know, and with Eric, you know, to have a captain and a leader, and he's just great and professional in his approach. And so it bodes confidence for the guys in front of him, knowing that they have a guy like, quote unquote, a Tim Howard behind you. If you got a guy who can stand on his head behind you, and you know, hey, if you make a mistake and he's able to help you out, that means so much to the guys in front of you. You can't even put it into words.
Yeah, I think one thing going off that, kind of like you said, you guys want to impose your will on Chaminade. I think a great point to get to that is getting a first half goal. You guys haven't got a first half goal at the start of this season. I think once that kind of changes and you guys get that first half goal, I think kind of the momentum will change on the season, because you're just about to start PacWest play. If you guys can start off good in that first game against Chaminade, I think kind of you'll see the floodgates open. You'll see the potential of this team. Like you said, young and both got some veteran leadership. What's your take on that?
Yeah, you know, you hit it right on the head. I've spoken with a group at length. You know, this team has some special things. We just haven't either. We've been snake bitten a little bit on a few results. Haven't had luck go our way, if you will. And I'm not a big believer in luck, but I do think it's playing a small part in our fate right now.
Yeah.
But you're spot on. You know, I think winning cures all. You know, you get an early goal, that kind of the emotions, the serotonin, the mental, everything changes inside your body, right? And then all of a sudden, the world is your oyster, if you will, for that day or that moment or maybe that week. And so I think if we can get an early goal and we could change, you know, kind of change how we think about the game, and it's not so doomsday when it's 0-0 late in the game and it's actually happy day and we're up 1-2-0 and things are cruising, that's going to change a lot of things. It'll change the mood immediately. And just like anything in life, you know, if you keep faltering, you just got to keep plugging away, and something good will happen. And when it does, man, it feels great. It'll feel great when we hopefully get the result next Thursday.
Does the strategy change at all if you get an early goal or concede an early goal, or do you kind of keep the same pace and same strategy?
You know, I wouldn't say maybe early on in the game. I mean, the strategy is definitely probably going to change as the game carries on for that individual game. probably based on what our opponent's adjusting to and what how they're trying to get their goal back. For us, I think you get an early goal, I think you got to go for a second, and then you got to go for a third. You know, you don't want to really concede that, hey, we've got one, let's sit back and let them dictate tempo anymore.
Is that dangerous?
I think so. I think you're kind of laying down a little bit, and you know, when you get one up, now if it's 88th minute, yeah, let's pull back the horses, let's sit in front of our goal, and let's not concede anything. But as you go forward and you get an early goal, why not get a second or third before halftime?
Kind of just fast-forwarding, kind of off-topic here. I remember watching a game last year against Holy Names, and it kind of seemed like both you guys are chippy teams going back and forth in a rivalry. Would you consider them your number one rival, or is there someone else? Because that was the only game I watched, and it was awesome action, back and forth. Goals were scored from both teams. I'm sure you weren't happy as a coach seeing all those goals conceded, but who's your number one rival, you think?
Yeah, going back to Holy Names game, that was fantastic. I think we did win in like the last 4 minutes.
Yeah.
Vinny Enriquez had a goal there to go 4-3. 7 goals in any soccer game is quite yeah, the boat race.
Making you cringe there a little bit, but at least you won.
That's right, at least we won. It's more like a Giants baseball game score than a soccer game score, but we got the final result on that one, which was great. You know, and you look at rivalry, you know, it's kind of hard. You know, I would say back when I went to school here, Notre Dame Dana Moore was our rivalry, but I'm going to be honest with you, and I'm a sports guy, I think rivalry comes from both teams got to get some play in it. Both teams got to have some say in that rivalry. I think Notre Dame's had a little bit of an upper hand in men's soccer. I mean, you just look at the past results last 4 or 5 years. I get that. I'm okay with that, and we'll get there. You know, I to go back to what you're saying, I think Holy Names probably is a little bit more close of a rivalry. I think Academy Art is something because they came into our league the same time we did. There's a little bit of a kind of a stigma with us in Academy. I'm not saying it's a negative thing. I think there's a little bit of kind of comparison.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know. And you kind of look at it all. Yeah, I also think it's like, man, none of these schools really rival us academically, but I wish
we're way too
high. Got them there.
Right? But then it's like, yeah, I wish that translated to a little bit more rivalry on the soccer field. No, but to Holy Names, yes, and maybe Academy. Notre Dame, possibly in some areas, some sports for sure. But, I mean, those are our Bay Area pod schools. They're always going to have a little bit because we kind of recruit some of the same players, and give or take, you know, and then we all kind of come from the same area, so we know each other we see each other all the time. So, I would say Holy Names definitely up there.
And we talked about recruiting a little bit earlier, and so you're in mid-season recruiting. What's your biggest need? What are you really looking to get for next year?
You know, we graduate Eric, but we got a great backup behind him, a couple great backups behind him. So, you know, that piece is going to be okay on the goalkeeping side. You know, we're going to be graduating one of our midfielders and a center back. So kind of guys you can play in the middle of the field. You know, but when you recruit, you know, especially right now where we are, we're still building what we have.
Yeah.
You just recruit soccer players. You recruit competitors, guys who want to compete day in and day out, guys who compete in their sleep. You know, you want guys who want to win because they eat their Wheaties the fastest. You know, you really want guys who want to win. So you start with the competitive factor. Then you start with the soccer acumen. Can you play? Can you play? You know, can you move? Can you play soccer? So we're looking for soccer players who can compete. To answer your question, position of need, just in the middle of the field. We're going to graduate again. A lot of the guys in the middle of the field that help us, you know, drive the game forward. So guys who could handle the ball a little bit, a couple guys who could play a little bit all up and down the middle of the field.
And then you got two assistants in their first year, Mike Carbon and Kelly Coffey. What's their role been like?
They've been great. You know, it's Mike Carboni. Everybody forgets the E. So it's Mike Carboni, and then it's Kelly Coffey. Coffee just as you would at Starbucks or what have you. Both those guys come from college soccer programs previously to here. Mike being at USF the last 4 years, so he knows what a Division I atmosphere looks like, Division I day in and day out routine looks like. And then Kelly Coffey's was at SF State the last 7 years. So, again, he and I not only are great, you know, soccer peers and coworkers, but we're also really good friends as well as Mike. And so we've coached in Marin in the club scene for a while, and they just bring a lot more experience to our sideline, to our office. They bring a lot more, another set of eyes. It's two more sets of eyes. And, you know, having two guys who've been through it before that you don't have to – we all learn from each other, but it's not me constantly teaching. You know, they're teaching me much as I teach them. You know, and we're all I think it's a really harmonious staff we have, and I think our players have benefited from it. Our players have benefited from having more sets of eyes and more coaching on the field, and that we've really seen an uptick in some of our guys just taking a bond to those new faces on our sideline.
And I hear you say compete. You know, we hear that from all coaches. You know, really from the professional league all the way down the collegiate athletics, compete. That's what they want their athletes to do. So what's your kind of coaching style on the sideline? Is it or behind the scenes in practice?
You know, that's a good question. You know, I would think my style varies a little bit, you know, from day to day and what the day is going to call for, day needs. But I'd like to believe I'm a player's coach. You know, the players, I want to create a good, fun atmosphere. It's all positive all the time. You know, even in our darkest moments, we stay positive. You know, we work on, you know, thinking positive, being positive, you know, in terms of sideline demeanor. When it comes to games, I step back. You know, it's their theater. You know, that's that we've prepped all we can in training, and we'll offer a few in-game adjustments. But on the whole, the game is their theater. It's their show, and I'm just a fan watching the kids play, and I love watching them play. You know, in trainings, we'll get after them a little bit if the game, if the training needs a higher tempo or a higher, you know, level of intensity. But on the whole, I think the players feel comfortable. They can approach us at any time. It's definitely not a dictatorship. There's definitely an open door. One thing we do that I think is unique to our program, it's everybody has an opinion. Everyone, we encourage feedback. I encourage our kids to tell us what they like and don't like. I encourage all of us to kind of open dialogue about how things are going. Because when you put dialogue into something, then that means that you're going to have a vested interest in what we're trying to do. You know, I always liken it to this. And so we're all young once, and mom and dad bought us pairs of shoes, and, you know, 6, 7 years old, and we all went and jumped in the mud puddle, and mom and dad would scream at us, but we really wouldn't care if our shoes were dirty from being in the mud puddle. But then when we bought our first Jordans, Air Force Ones, and you know those white ones, right? And all of a sudden you step off the curb and you scuff like the little back part of your shoe, and you're really, really not happy with yourself like the next 5 hours because your shoes are scuffed. But that's because you paid for them, because that's, you're invested into it. So I see sport like that. If you have an opinion, you're invested in what we're doing, then you care more about what you're doing than me just telling you what's right and what's wrong.
Man, I'm fired up.
I'm fired up.
Jeez, I can imagine playing for you. I mean, it's good to have that kind of environment. And you've talked about the great academic achievements that both your team and the whole athletic program as a whole has had the last 5 years, receiving the PacWest Academic Achievement Award. Talk a little bit about that. You're both student and athletes, kind of on the same level field.
Yeah, you know, I mean, Dominican's second to none when it comes to academic achievement within the PacWest Conference. And, you know, we actively recruit kids who, you know, have high academic acumen coming out of high school. We know that translates well into A, being a productive student here at Dominican, and B, you know, I have a thing in soccer called the maintenance meter. If you get great grades in high school, generally speaking, your maintenance meter in college is going to be a little bit less than maybe a kid who gets lesser grades. It's kind of a proof in the pudding, if you will. On the whole, you know, if my memory is correct, I think men's soccer had a 3.34 overall GPA, 3.39.
Outstanding.
Yeah, right. Some right in there. And the overall athletics part, 3.41. And we're talking 30 student athletes, largest men's population athletic on campus, aside from lacrosse. You know, and if you look at it, all of our majors are business majors. Some are health sciences. You know, they're spending time in the classroom. They take it seriously. You know, and I couldn't be more proud of the investment our kids give to the academic piece, because that's what we hang our hat on. You know, these kids are, they're going to learn a lot of lessons through sport and through athletics, but when they get out of here, they're going to have their diploma and they're going to be ready to go on and, you know, make a living for themselves.
And just stepping back from soccer, one question: what do you enjoy when you're not wrapped up in this?
Yeah, it seems like you're a busy man. So what can you enjoy?
More soccer. No, more. You know, I got to be honest. For me, I got a family now. You know, we have a 2-year-old at home and a wife, and there's nothing more enjoyable until you have one. But I have a son now, and if and when, like, for example, I'll give you a day, but we lost a heartbreaker yesterday. I get it. You know, nobody really said much to each other on the way home in the car, and, you know, faces are down and iPods are in, and, you know, people are really, you know, probably second guessing every decision. And I get here and I'm like, you know what I did? I put my stuff down. I went home and played with my kid on the living room floor, because at the end of the day, he doesn't care if I win or lose.
Yeah.
He knows me as dad, and we went and played. And so what do? I hang out with my kid. I do. When I need a break from soccer, I hang out with my family and my kid. And I'm a family man through and through at this point.
It's awesome.
Yeah, couldn't have said it better myself. Glad you can join us. This is the men's soccer coach, Phil Belecci-Gallard. They do have... Jeez, I butchered that name. See that? I butchered that name. I apologize. They do have two games, one on Thursday, 9:25. That's next Thursday. They're taking on Chaminade. Then they play 9:27 against BYU Hawaii. That opens up PacWest play. Anything you want to say to the people out there listening? I know, of course, you want to say come out and watch the game, but anything else you want to say out there?
Of course. Let's start with come out and watch the game on Saturday, or obviously Thursday. Thursday's a little bit innocuous because it is a noontime kickoff, but on Saturday, being it Saturday, it will be a huge family day weekend. It'll be an alumni weekend. It'll also be an official visit weekend. It'll be packed with people. It'll be packed with anticipation and packed with energy. So if anybody can get out there on Saturday, if you're trying to choose between which game, please get out there on Saturday. Support us. We're going to have a great showing and a great event on that day. And if I can leave anybody with anything, you know, Dominican is going in the right place, you know, and specifically the men's soccer. All progress is being made, you know, and progress doesn't happen overnight. You know, you got to keep plugging away. What's that saying? You know, Washington wasn't built overnight. You know, it took 100 years to build Washington. So we're getting there, you know, as well as athletics. So I couldn't be happy to be a part of this.
Love the mindset, Coach. Well, that was a men's Dominican soccer coach, Phil Belecci-Gard. This is radio.dominican.edu. You're listening to the Temple of Swan. We'll be right back.